Right now on VFN TV, Muslim clerics are wielding knives saying, cut up the Jews, cut them up, scare them back into their houses. In Gaza, parents are naming their children. The actual name is Knife of Jerusalem. What is happening today? The excitement, the Muslim excitement that's happening and stirring of angers is happening over the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Right there on the Temple Mount, all these things are taking place, including, of all the things, the name of Muhammad's horse that took him from Mecca to Jerusalem was Al-Barak. Today, right now, on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. But we're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world. One based on mutual interest and mutual respect. And one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me. And when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you call on everlasting God, and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seed of the righteous will rise and the seed of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate this city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about Israel, about the church, how we actually walk into being the church again. But first, think about what's taking place right now. There is a Muslim cleric who is giving these disturbing instructions to his people and his mosque, and he's brandishing a knife as he's doing it. And you're looking at, as we showed just recently, how people are being stabbed, literally stabbed at bus stops, stabbed at different places. Soldiers are being stabbed. Knives. It's literally, you know, all about knives. But look what some Muslims are hearing when they go and listen to their cleric teach them about what they should know. Take a look at this now.
Mahmoud Abbas did the same thing this year. They even use the same term. يَحَجِمُوا الْأَقْصَى. They're attacking Al-Aqsa.
In order to protect the Al-Aqsa Mosque, this imam in Gaza calls on West Bank Palestinians to impose what he calls a curfew of stabbing to keep Israelis terrorized so they'll stay inside.
Why in the world would our leadership, would our president be supporting the Palestinian government who actually allows or promotes these things in Palestine? You're seeing it's not like somebody just saying something. They're going out and doing what they're preaching and stabbing Jews. And it's like they're still promoting it. John Kerry reportedly goes to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and tells him he needs to keep down the rhetoric. That's rhetoric right there. Look at this. It's so prominent right now. It's so prominent what's being taught from these Muslim clerics in Palestine and the Palestinian people that even a parent, they had their baby, and you're thinking, you know, what do I want to name my baby? Do I want to name my baby Muhammad? Do I want to name him Esau? Do I want to name him Steve? Do I want to name her Susan? Well, guess what? They actually named their baby. They named their baby Knife of Jerusalem. Watch.
Allah has given me a new baby, and I've named him Knife of Jerusalem after the Intifada of the Knives, because we are now witnessing a new kind of revolution. Allah willing, the third Intifada will not stop. After this Intifada, and in support of the blood of the martyrs, I've named him Knife of Jerusalem, because the least that we can do is to show solidarity with our people in the West Bank in Jerusalem. Giving him this name was the least I could do, even if many people don't like it.
I am the mother of the Knife of Jerusalem. We gave him this name in solidarity with our people in the West Bank. This is the least we could do for them. In the third Intifada, the Intifada of Al-Aqsa.
I am a friend of Knife of Jerusalem's father. It was my idea, and I published the post on Facebook. I felt that this would gain lots of attention on the social media. He was over at my shop, and he told me that he was going to the hospital because his wife was having a baby. He said that he did not know what name to give the baby. We were watching the music video Lovers of Stabbing on TV. And I said, how about Knife of Jerusalem? He said, how can I call him Knife? I said, after the martyrs and the intifada of the knives. Today, it is the knife that had its say on the ground. This is a really sweet name. It's the least we can do for Jerusalem.
Think about that. Naming their child Knife of Jerusalem? It's like the Palestinian people are taking on the identity that we are going to stab the apple of God's eye. We're going to cut up the Jews. I mean, that's what you're seeing taking place. And it's like, why are we even supporting something like that? Why did the leadership and the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, talk about we wanted Jerusalem removed from the platform of the Democratic Party? And it came back only by the request of a particular minister who happened to be in the crowd, but it came against the will. Then they voted it basically out by the Supreme Court. Why is that? You think about it. When you think about the Temple Mount, when you think about the Al-Aqsa Mosque, they're trying to incite all these things taking place. That mosque is sitting on top of the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is where the Temple of God sat. It is actually where Abraham offered up Isaac, where God revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And Islam saying, we want this, we want Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, a French proposal just came in recently and they turned it down. But they said they wanted to make Jerusalem an international property, no longer under the authority of Israel. These are wild days. But they're trying to incite violence through, they are, trying to scare all the Jews, scare everyone, fear. But look what they did. Look what they're doing on the Temple Mount at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Remember that mosque is sitting on top of the Temple Mount. Watch.
It's one of the most holy and contested pieces of real estate on earth, the Temple Mount. For decades, Islamic leaders have incited Muslims to violence by telling them that the Al-Aqsa Mosque is in danger. First, they claim that the Israelis were undermining its foundations to make it collapse. Now they also say it's a threat even for Jews to pray on the sacred plateau.
Extreme movements believe that Israel is planning to build the third temple and to destroy their holy shrine.
Known in Arabic as the Haram al-Sharif, or Noble Sanctuary, it's the place where two consecutive Jewish temples once stood. The second was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. Now, Muslim mosques occupy the site. The Golden Dome of the Rock to my right is the most identifiable Muslim shrine on the Temple Mount. But it's the gray-domed Al-Aqsa Mosque to my left that Muslims consider the third holiest site in Islam. They believe that Muhammad took a famous night ride from Mecca to Al-Aqsa on his winged horse, Al-Barak. Al-Aqsa was first built in 705 AD. In Muslim theology, the site precedes the Jews and goes back to creation.
You know, Adam, when he descended from the heaven, he came here and he was pray here.
No different between Sulaiman and King David and all the prophets. It's all the same. They've all been in Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Today, the entire plateau is referred to as Al-Aqsa. Nadav Shragai wrote the Al-Aqsa is in danger libel, The History of a Lie. He says when Muslim leaders want to unite the masses, they claim it's in danger.
The match that ignites the people and brings them to the streets and causes violence is this libel. Al-Aqsa is in danger and this is baseless.
Archaeologist Dr. Gabriel Barkai says there have been excavations near the Temple Mount, but never under it.
One of the cornerstones of Western civilization was never touched by the spade of the archaeologists.
Barkai says it was Muslims, not Jews, who began digging in an attempt to rewrite history.
Since the 90s, there were many destructive diggings going on in the Temple Mount, which were not for archaeological purposes, but the contrary, for destroying archaeological data.
Around 2000, the Islamic religious authorities dug up thousands of years of history with bulldozers from under the Temple Mount to make room for a giant mosque. Barkai headed an operation to save artifacts from the discarded material. Years later, archaeologists and volunteers still sift through the debris. According to Shragai, then Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Haj Amin al-Husseini started the libel against Israel in the 1930s. He accused the Jews of wanting to collapse the mosques on the Temple Mount. That led to Muslim rioting and murder of the Jews, just the first of many incidents. Islamic expert Dr. Yitzhak Reiter says the tactic hasn't lost its potency.
They really believe in what they think, that Al-Aqsa is in danger as long as Israel is controlling the eastern part of East Jerusalem.
In 1969, the Muslim world blamed Israel for the arson attack on the Al-Aqsa Mosque by a visiting Australian Christian. That lie continues today. More trouble in 1996. The worst Israeli-Palestinian violence in 30 years broke out when Israel opened an exit for visitors to the Western Wall tunnels half a mile from Al-Aqsa. And in 2004, rain, snow, and a minor earthquake toppled the entrance ramp to the Temple Mount. That provoked an international Islamic uproar when Israel tried to rebuild it. We asked Muslims in Jerusalem what they think.
It's in danger to destroy them, to take the place. It's in danger.
They are digging underneath it and digging and digging, and they don't find anything.
God will save it.
Recently, Israel arrested a key Islamic figure for incitement. He told his followers Israel planned to break into the Temple Mount and they should use their bodies to prevent Jews from going up there. Experts say it's important the West takes notice now because millions of Muslims believe the lie is true. They say if it brought violence in the past, it will do so in the future. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem's Old City.
Realize all of the nations will be judged in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, the Valley of Decision, what we did with the land of Israel. They are saying they do not want the Jews to have the Temple Mount where it's theirs. It's biblically, it's historically, it's their land. It's God's land, actually. And they're trying to prevent Israel from actually having it. They're creating and inciting all these riots and the knivings and the things that are taking place over there. And it's the ultimate fear is, it's going to happen. You're not going to be able to stop the will of God. If God says there's going to be a temple, there's going to be a temple there. But you're looking at the coming land grab. You're looking at them responding to what's going on. But the King Abdullah of Jordan, we're going to go to break and come back. But King Abdullah of Jordan just offered a suggestion. And I think Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's taken up on this. They're going to put surveillance cameras on the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Finally, we're going to be able to see all along it's been the Palestinians inciting riots right there on the Temple Mount, trying to cause it to look like it was the Jews doing it. Nothing better than actual video and surveillance taking place. Keep Israel in your prayers that this will be fulfilled, and then the whole world will see exactly what's taking place. We'll get back from this break. We're going to talk about how that the narrative has been going on. The former pastor of President Barack Obama is saying that Jesus was a Palestinian. I know. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFN TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
It's amazing how we're standing together mm-hmm. to be able to do this. And, we have so many things as a thank you for your partnership, as you know. We have an entire partnership area, in regards to what's available there. But today, as a matter of fact, right now we have an offer for our VFN TV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner today. It is a weapon of peace. And you think about it, Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Think about this, that all these things that we're hearing as believers, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed in the
And this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has,
mm-hmm.
because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call. You can go online at VFNTV.com, as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go to, you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your gift, a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner.
That is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this. Be a part and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house. You grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect mm-hmm. yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you've got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write. And join the many partners that are keeping us going. And mm-hmm. we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This battle for the Temple Mount is very huge.
Yes.
That Jerusalem is according to America's Now policy. Of course, they took it off the White House website.
Mm.
They said that, you know, they used to say Jerusalem is identified as the capital of Israel. And that was done quite some time back. We talked about that on our program. That in the Democratic National Convention, they took Jerusalem as the capital of Israel out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was forced back in against the will of the people that were there. We showed you that as well. We actually have that for you. You can see it on a previous program. They booed when it actually happened. Then they went to the Supreme Court and changed it somehow, where if you're born in Jerusalem, you can no longer say that you are born in Jerusalem. You can only say that I was born in Israel.
Mm.
Then they're saying go back to the 1967 borders. Our president said that and others supported it, which is undefensible borders, which actually cuts out, I believe, that area. And then they're wanting to, according to this French treaty that was proposed to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, was to make Jerusalem an international territory. I mean, they talked about it so much, you don't even think about this. That is property of Israel. It's not anybody's property. No. That's like people negotiating over your backyard.
Exactly.
And nobody's saying this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is the prime minister over the property
at the
Temple Mount.
He's allowing graciously.
Yeah, he's the one saying, hey, you know, the only people can pray there at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, there are Muslims, but everybody can visit there.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he say that? Because that's his property. I mean, he's allowing that to take place. And
he's being quite gracious. You think about it. I mean, it's very gracious.
They're very open to a lot of things, and Israel's mm-hmm. amazing, their ability to do all that. But so you have this narrative, and a narrative is really important because whoever controls the narrative controls the destiny. I believe that we had that on a previous program. And, you know, people just, if you say a lie long enough, they said in Rules for Radicals, which Ben Carson said, if you're going to read any book at all, Ben Carson said to read Rules for Radicals. We had that called Organizers of the Day versus Organizers of the mm-hmm. Night. You know, the understanding, not only the dark principle of organizing, Rules for Radicals from Saul Alinsky, but you need to know the light perspective.
Yeah.
That's the dark perspective, so what's the light perspective? So we actually went over that, and we have that for you right now. As a matter of fact, I think it's totally available for all of our partners that are there at BFNTV.com. But think about this. This narrative is saying, oh, you know, there's this whole separate state of people that's not yet a state, and, you know, it's the Palestinian people, and the true story about the Palestinian people we're going to have for you today, but the narrative just keeps going. Even the president's former pastor, the one that he writes in his book that mentored him and married him and Michelle, the first lady, that he says specifically, he's right in there with the narrative. He just said this million man march or whatever just happened mm-hmm. at the Washington Mall. Take a look. This is Jeremiah Wright, Pastor Jeremiah Wright, saying, you know, specifically, lining up with this whole narrative that's been going all along now, that Jesus was a Palestinian. Listen.
And please remember, Jesus was a Palestinian.
Say that again. Play that one more time.
And please remember, Jesus was a Palestinian.
Okay, let's do one more time so we can get this.
So you can
right.
hear it.
And please remember, Jesus was a Palestinian.
So we just had the Palestinian flag raised at the United Nations. United we just Nations. Said that, you know, John Kerry said that's a two-state solution. We talked about how he covered his face at the UN when they declared that it'd be a two-state solution. He threatened out loud on press, you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for a third intifada in the beginning of this whole talk that was going on.
Which is happening right now. But all of this causes me to remember that someone who used this the narrative and propaganda, I mean, very well, and that was Hitler and Goebbels. I mean, they continually...
Goebbels
continually painted Goebbels. Right? Right. He hit this narrative over and over and over again. This propaganda they use in media over and over and over again to paint the story that they wanted. Right. And the people who want evil will agree with anything. They just want to make sure that the story gets out. Give me a narrative. Give me something to support. Paint the picture for me and I'll get behind it. Right. And many people are doing that today in terms of Israel.
Yeah. You know, in the way that we're designed as human beings, that, you know, God chose from the foolishness of what was said, what was preached, to win people to him. Mm-hmm. So the speech is very important. Talk is very important. How can one man who nobody knows give one speech in 2008 at a convention, I believe was, that all of a sudden he's lifted to this particular place? Because, well thought out narratives move us. That's why we have to be in the narrative of the Word of God to find out, okay, this is a great narrative, but let's find out if it's a biblical narrative.
Right. Is this moving my spirit or moving my flesh?
Right, you know what I mean? Right, because...
What's this stirring in me?
Yeah, people can talk well, man. It's great narratives, but we always go back and compare those narratives to what God's Word says. And you have to look at it. When you hear about the Palestinian people, there are myths. As a matter of fact, there's 10 distinct myths. You're about to see it, 1293. You got to see this. It's very specifically breaks down all these myths that helps you understand this is nothing but a false narrative, by the way, that is succeeding, but God is going to stop it. Take a look at this.
The Israeli-Palestinian conflict is perhaps the most complex political issue of our time. Many have resorted to simply blaming one side or the other. But if we take the time to understand the history and correct our misconceptions, a potential path forward for the Palestinians begins to emerge. So let's start by trying to get the story straight and clear up 10 of the biggest misconceptions out there. Misconception number one, Israel illegally stole land from the Palestinians. In 1947, the UN voted to give land to both the Jews and the Palestinians. The Jews accepted their partition and legally formed the State of Israel. The Palestinians rejected their partition and attacked. Even after losing the war, the Arabs still had most of the land from the UN ruling. Which leads us to misconception number two. The surrounding Arab nations actually want to create a Palestinian state. So after the war, the West Bank and Gaza were controlled by Jordan and Egypt for 19 years. During that span, those governments never established a Palestinian state. Instead, they kept the land for their own use. Misconception number three. The Arab nations want to solve the refugee crisis. Palestinians have settled in Arab nations throughout the Middle East. These nations could solve the crisis immediately by granting refugees equal rights. But instead, they refuse to let them vote, own land, or even study in public schools. Ironically, the only country to grant them full citizenship rights is Israel, which absorbed 156,000 Arabs after the 1948 war. And even today, Arabs hold seats in the Israeli government and Supreme Court. Misconception number four. UN efforts are helping to solve the refugee crisis. The UN did step in to provide assistance to the Palestinian refugees, but instead of using their existing agency that helps resettle refugee populations around the world, the UN created UNRWA, which labels every Palestinian as a refugee until a Palestinian state is formed within the borders of Israel. This makes it more difficult for Palestinians to thrive in their host countries and locks them into perpetual refugee status passing it on to their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, swelling the refugee population from 500,000 in 1949 to nearly 5 million today. As conditions worsened, the international aid started to pour in, which, incidentally, is misconception number 5. The solution is more money. Really? Western nations have given the Palestinians a ton of aid. Even taking inflation into account, they've been given 25 times more money per person than Europe was given to rebuild after World War II. Where's the stable economy? Where's the improved infrastructure? That money sure could have helped, but it was given to some leaders who had a different agenda, which brings us headlong into misconception number 6. Forming a state is the primary goal of top Palestinian leaders. All of this international aid did go to help ease one man's suffering, Yasser Arafat. After his death, accountants hired by Arafat's own family discovered secret investments worth more than $1 billion. That income stream would be threatened if a new state was formed, which gives leaders like Arafat, or Mahmoud Abbas for that matter, a billion plus reasons to never actually sign a peace treaty. Which leads us to misconception number 7. Israel has a true peace partner. In the year 2000, desperate for a resolution, the Israelis elected Prime Minister Ehud Barak with a mandate to make peace with the Palestinians. Barak offered Yasser Arafat 94% of the land he demanded, except Jerusalem. Arafat flatly refused. President Clinton blamed the failure of the best chance at peace in 60 years squarely on Yasser Arafat. Which brings up perhaps the most common misconception of all, number 8. Israel just needs to give up land for peace. The last time Israel tried this was in 2005. They forced thousands of Jewish settlers out of Gaza, and in exchange, the Palestinian leaders promised peace. But when the Israelis moved out, the Palestinians voted Hamas in. Yep, they elected a terrorist organization who, since taking power, has fired more than 10,000 rockets into Israel. Surprised? Then you've probably bought into misconception number 9. Most Palestinians want a lasting peace with Israel. Some Palestinians do, but they are a minority. For 60 years, Palestinian educational leaders have fed their children a steady diet of hate, idolizing suicide bombers and celebrating death right in the classroom. And finally, misconception number 10. Giving the Palestinians a state now is the only solution to their suffering. This has been the only approach tried for the last 60 years. But these are people we're talking about. And waiting until they have a state to give them equal rights has only made things worse. Currently, Israel is the only nation to grant full rights to the Palestinians within their borders. But by granting them equal rights in every nation where they live, we could immediately increase the quality of life for every Palestinian. Let's be honest, these misconceptions have concealed potential solutions. When we take time to clear up confusion and face reality, we begin to uncover the truth. And that's when real progress towards justice can begin.
So you're looking at, that's a perfect breakdown of the 10 misconceptions, and this narrative has been going, and you heard very specifically, from President Bill Clinton's administration. This plan has been unfolding all this time. When you think about CARE, you know, the American Islamic relations, all that happened under, it's like it's happening right now. And now it looks like 2.0 is wanting to get in leadership. More after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, admit it. You'd prefer to leave all the holiday planning and prep to your wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Dr. Greg Smalley suggests that you really ought to step up and pitch in.
And I know one of the things that Erin often says, I love it when you ask me what I can do to help, but she said it's very different, though, when you take initiative and you just jump in. Because in some ways, when I have to ask her constantly, what can I do to help? What do you need from me? It almost implies like, hey, this is really ultimately your responsibility. I'm just kind of here to help. You know, and it's great to have that attitude that I want to serve you, so ask each other. But also, I think for the guys, where it goes a long ways when we just look around, find things to do, jump in, and get them done.
More advice from Greg Smalley on navigating the holidays today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is, when you look at this narrative, the storyline's going, you think about why it's so important, because ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. And we need to begin to rethink church. And you think, well, what significantly do we have to do with that? A lot. We're the third largest country in the world. We're the most powerful country in the world. And we're being presented as a weakling, and we're surrendering all of our stuff and things and ideas and concepts and whatever over. And at the same time, partnering with the enemies of Israel, it's amazing what's taking place. But think about this. It's almost like our president, and he has whatever faith he wants to have. You can have whatever faith he wants. That's just part of being in America. But if you look at it, because, you know, you think about the first speech in Cairo that said, you know, we need to build our relationship and promote Islam and fight against every negative type of stereotype of Islam wherever it's found in the world. But also in regards to the United Nations saying the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam, which is Muhammad. And it's almost like he's fulfilling the from Mecca to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I mean, you think
but
about
even
that.
The recent invitation of the young boy in Texas who created this clock thing, the embracing. I mean, there's a lot of things that the president could embrace, but is there a reason?
Well, the plight, even the Homeland Security is saying, you know, that
Jay Johnson,
we have to respond to the plight against Muslims. And there's only like 4 million. And
4 million while Christians
think
are
about being... this, though. So Mecca is where Muslims come to, you know, and walk around the well because of the 12th
Saudi Arabia once a year.
But you have to understand, if you look at the history books of Islam, they believe that Muhammad rode a steed or a horse in the middle of the night when he went to sleep. He had this encounter that he rode this horse from Mecca to Jerusalem. That's how the Al-Aqsa Mosque got there, because they're saying he rode this horse. And of course, the reports are his wife said he was in bed with me all night. But but the thing about this, so then the question is, what was the name of that horse? What was the name of the horse that history says, Islamic history says, that Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, rode from Mecca to Jerusalem? Remember, Jerusalem is what's at stake here, which you're hearing about continually. You'll never check this out. The name of the horse, the steed that rode him there, according to their history, is Al-Barak. Think about that. I think we even have a picture of the horse. You can see it. That's in that you can find that. And they're saying that it just flew him in the air from Mecca to Jerusalem. So in regards to Islam, they consider
that theirs because of this night ride with a flying horse. And Al Barak was the name of the horse that brought Islam from Mecca to Jerusalem.
Mm.
And it's interesting today that everything is pressing, and the narrative is Jerusalem is Muhammad's.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Jerusalem is Muhammad's. The Al-Aqsa Mosque that you're seeing all these things happen at, they're saying, based on the history book, that it's ours. It's not the Jews. Matter of fact, they're saying that the Quran says, and you can see this at VFNTV.com on the torch, we have Islam 101. You can understand, compare the Quran to the Bible. But they're saying they're not going to be happy until every Jew is pushed into the sea, and they even a rock will say, hey, come, there's a Jew behind me. I mean, there's this whole
– wow.
They don't – an authentic follower of Islam and Muhammad's teachings – is against Israel even being anywhere on that land. They call that a Palestine or Palestinian territory. And so it's like, man, Barak, President Barak, is doing what Al Barak did for Muhammad in that day.
Yeah.
This Barak is carrying Islam. Because Jerusalem is the capital. We've always acknowledged that is the capital of Israel, but our president is saying it's not the capital of Israel. Mm. By the way, the Democratic Party, the person that's actually over that is the Democratic president. And if there's a Republican president, then that Republican president is over the Republican National
Convention. Or nominee at that year, right?
Well, but they actually they're in charge of it.
Sure.
You know, they actually determine
which way it's going to go. That party.
It's not sneaking up on them, you know what I mean? And so when you're seeing this right here, it's just like that, you know, and if you believe that history, you're thinking what you're doing is right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you study, I mean, if you study and you look at, go to VFNTV.com and we have, I mean, verbatim, we have, you know, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam right side by side, and how, you know, all these things kind of begin to, at the beginning, kind of connect, and then they go off into their own courses. Well, it's very, very important because Islam, the Quran, is the antithesis of the Bible. So if the Bible says up, Islam says down. The Quran says down. If we say that Jesus is coming from the heavens, they say their Savior is coming from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We say the beast is coming from the ground. We say it's,
the Bible says.
The Bible says, yes. And then you know, the Bible says, of course, that then the beast will put a mark on every man and they can't buy or sell without doing this. And we go, that's a bad thing. Well, Islam, it says their savior is coming out of the ground. He's going to put a mark on you. And that's the good thing. And it's like they believe the opposite. That's how they can make war, some historians believe, against Jesus, the Lamb of God, because they actually believe the antithesis, because they say it's said in Islam, in the Quran, that they acknowledge Jesus exists. They call him a prophet, but he has to come back, according to them. And he is going to come back, but he will repent for calling himself the Son of God. Mm. Then he will assist this one who comes out of that well in Mecca, and he will go around getting people to convert to Islam. And the ones that don't, this Jesus they believe in will behead you. And it's like, there's a huge difference. If our president is involved, if Barak is involved like Al Barak was in transferring Islam from Mecca to Jerusalem, I mean, this is Ezekiel 33, 38. It's happening. All these different aspects are happening because, I mean, we are in some interesting days. The Lord could come back any moment, any time. If you have not yet, when we get back, we're going to talk about, you know, something we have as a gift for you for becoming a partner, because this now to know, you know, the signs of the Lord's returning is now. The question is, are you ready? Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFN-TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
And it's amazing how we're standing together to be able to do this. And we have so many things as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership. As you know, we have an entire partnership area, you know, in regards to
very exciting.
What's available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFNTV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner today. It is a weapon of peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Mm. Trust in God. Think about this. That all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed in the, and this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has, because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call, you can go online at VFNTV.com, as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go to, you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your gift, a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner.
That is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this. Be a part and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house. You grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write. And join the many partners that are keeping us going. And we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. You know, what do you do? What's with all these things that are taking place? And I mean, prophecies are being fulfilled so rapidly. And you say, what does that mean? That means once they're all fulfilled, it's over. I mean, it's very important. If there's 100 prophecies and 98 fulfilled, you got two more left.
Pay attention.
It's like, check, check,
yeah,
out of here. And so I think about, you know, we got to begin to rethink being the church. And one thing that's very important to understand right now, we have an offer for you. It's offer 1999, and it's number 1999. And it is... called, you know, this is a conversation that I had about, you know, signs of the Lord's returning, because we're in those days. This is like the times of the signs of the Lord's returning. And it's very important to ask the question, are you ready? A lot of people are so into end time things and that type of stuff. And I'm not saying the world's coming to an end, but as you can see right here, it's, you know, signs of the Lord's returning. Are you ready? And you even see the scripture right there. You see the scripture where he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Wow.
And others will go to meet him in the air. I mean, this is in those days. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that you can have, but the most important question we need to know the answer to is the one that Nicodemus had, which is, how must I be saved?
Yes.
You know, not all these theories and stuff. And also I talk about in this to help you, and this is totally yours as a gift for partnering today, is the signs. What do these signs particularly mean? This battle for the Temple Mount that we're talking about, this is a sign of the Lord's returning. When you look at what's happening with our own nation, when you're seeing, you know, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association putting out their magazine Decision saying, prepare for persecution, prepare for when a nation turns its back on God, basically it's saying, these are signs, are rapidly moving signs, and you need to be prepared. We just want to give this to you, your partnership for any amount at all. And as our partners, we're doing this thing together. God knows, he sees us. He says, listen, I command you, this is the command, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. And you can partner today by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner now, which you can see, or you can write to us at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or you can even call 844-408-3688. And it's so important to understand how to connect. This is how, I mean, you want to, when the Lord returns, and he is, and we're going to all stand before the throne of God, you want to be able to say, you know what? Together, I stood with VFN TV to be the light, to keep the light shining 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and on the Gulf Coast every single day, Monday through Friday. Think about that. And it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. And how does this happen? It happens because of you saying, you know what? I do want a partner. And what we want to do is give you this gift. It's called Signs of the Lord's Returning. Are you ready? It's offer $19.99.
We appreciate your partnership. Do it today. And also talk to other people about partnering. We love hearing from you. And it's so encouraging when you call, when you write, when you send emails, when you like our Facebook page, because we know that we're not alone. And so many people are saying, listen, we understand that the answer is not in Washington, D.C. or who we elect. But the answer is Jesus. The answer is the gospel. The answer is the Lord. And together, it's a team that's coming together. We're partnering to keep the conversation light. And it's through our partnership and the stuff that we're doing together. I'm just so excited.
Yes.
And as the partners continue to come on, I mean, these are wonderful resources that you need to feed your spirit, but also that you can share the word with your family and your friends. It takes all of us, and the times are short. So we're just privileged to have this time, you know, with you guys.
It's very short. And when you think about it, we need to be able to rethink church. We got to be able to rethink it. Because whatever we're doing, it doesn't appear to be working. George Barna writes in his book, he said that the church in America spends $1.3 million. Think about that. $1.3 million per baptized believer. I mean, there's people out there, if we just break that up into $10,000 increments, you'll have 10,000 new souls because they need 10 grand to pay their rent and fix stuff off and pay some debt.
Lord.
I mean, can you imagine the disciples and Jesus looks at them and says, okay, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to leave it with you. You need to go out there and get you a couple trillion dollars because it's going to cost you $1.3 million for every person that decides to follow me.
Mm.
Why are we? That's insanity. We have to account for that.
Compared to what's happening in Cuba, where most people are living on $30 a month, and the gospel is exploding, and they're in the midst of awesome revival.
Why are we spending $1.3 million per baptized believer in America? And we're only like 4.5% of the world's population, we have to begin to say, you know, what are we doing? We've got the answer for this. The richest nation, our poorest person in America, is richer than 70% of the world's population, 7 billion folks.
Wow.
Think about that. What are we doing with that? How are we using these things to be able to, we have to begin to rethink church. And it's not that complicated. Imagine if that $1.3 million was going to a television program in your region, that you have a television program happening, or you're bringing in VFN TV, or you're starting a Christian school, or instead of complaining about, you know, what's happening in the secular schools who are going more secular, pushing God out, that you open up a Christian school. You know what? Two small churches that met in their home, John.
Yeah.
They're met in their home. Were able, because they saw there was flight taking place from a particular urban area, a city, and everybody was leaving. The churches were leaving, the schools were leaving, closing down, and they prayed about it, and the Lord laid on their heart, we need to open up a Christian school. Two small churches that met in two homes got together and said, we'll do that. And they opened up a Christian school.
Wow, amazing.
There's so much that we can do. It's not about programs. It's not about Christmas plays. It's not about Easter plays. It's not about another pew or a different color carpet. It's about souls. It's about people. Jesus doesn't say in the last days, when I gather you, he said, it'll be like a king who gathers his flock before him. On his right hand would be sheep, and his left hand would be goats. And he'll say to the goats, you know, that, hey, you know, you didn't build enough buildings, and you didn't, you know, have enough programs. You know, that whole scenario is based off, you know, whatever you did for people. What did you do for an individual? And you really find out how much kingdom is in you when you invite God's kingdom into your house.
That's right.
Because you find out, this ain't my house. I mean, you got to go through the whole process. But how many people, You know, if Jesus was knocking on the outside of your door, say, well, I'll let him into our building, but I will not let him into my house.
Mm.
And it's like, that's not his house. You know, I'll give him a ride with the church bus, but I ain't going to ride him in my car and my bus. And it's like, we got to begin to, that's an American mindset. It's not true. It's not true. And it's whatever we do for others. And so you have to begin to rethink church. Now, it doesn't, if you think about the present day expression and that model, it doesn't work like that. So you got to go back to the original intent of what is written very plainly. Jesus, the most purest form of the church happens the moment Jesus births it, as the Holy Spirit comes down and Pentecost mm-hmm. happens, and you start seeing that people have things in common, and that, you know, paying a price is not a big deal because they wanted to see everybody not having any lacks. It's not the government's job to transfer wealth. It's the church's job to transfer wealth to needs that take place. We do that. That's what Paul was going to go from church to church. And when they went to persecute the church, guess what? That when Saul, who became Paul, went to go persecute the church, it didn't say he went from mega building to mega building, shopping center to shopping center. You know, it says he went from house to house and drug the church out. Why? Because that's where the church was meeting. And we got to begin to think about it again. I want to have the glory of God in my own home. I want God's presence in my own home. I don't mind gathering with a whole bunch of other folks, but I want the Lord in my neighborhood. I want light to come in my dark neighborhood. Rethinking church. Maybe you can sign up for the Vine Seminars. We're going to have a limited amount of seating to be able to come. We got a few. And so if you want to sign up, we're going to begin to talk about this and share this. It's going to excite you. It's going to exhilarate you. It's going to empower you. But it's a limited space. You got to go to VFNTV.com to sign up for the Vine Seminars. I want to pray for you right now. Let's pray also for the peace of Jerusalem. We ask you also to pray for us, if you would. We need your prayers. Father God, Lord, I just lift up, Father God, those that are watching and listening right now. I pray peace over them. I pray, Lord, that you would speak in their dreams to them, God. Encourage them out of your word. What do you want for your church, Lord God? You know, there was a time when the church didn't have your word and you got the word back, scripture back. But now, Lord, I just sense you're wanting your church back under your leadership, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that you would give us wisdom on how to do that, to rethink how you want us to be as the church. Our identity is not our buildings, our organizations. Our identity is our love we have for each other, Father God. I pray for this. And I pray also, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Thanks for watching.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. John, do you know the VFNTV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFNTV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFNTV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com. And click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFNTV. It'll pop up, download it for free, or go to VFNTV.com.